Our gospel lesson texts this morning are two. We'll start in 2 Chronicles 36. That's found on page 333 in the Bibles that are in your seats. I'll give you a moment to find that or use your Bible that you brought from home if that's the case. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And then after we read the last verses of that book, we will then go on to Matthew chapter 1, which will be on page 681 of the Bibles in your seats. Matthew presents Jesus and the birth of Jesus as an ending of the exile of God's people. So how providential it was that in our hearing God's word being preached from 2 Chronicles, and that we wound up at the end of November and early December with the very end of 2 Chronicles, which speaks of the exile of God's people and their return from exile. So we read 2 Chronicles with Jesus in mind, and then go on to Matthew chapter 1 to see how Matthew connects up Jesus as being the ender of our exile. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we'll begin in verse 15. This is God's word, eternally true. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of God was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary, and spared neither young man nor young woman, old man or aged. God handed all of them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his sons, until the king of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rests. All the time of its desolation it rested, until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Now please turn to Matthew chapter 1. Again, that's found on page 681 of the Bibles in your seats, the very first page of the New Testament. And as in the past couple of weeks, we'll skip around through this, and I'll tell you when we're going to skip down somewhere. But we'll begin with verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Now down to verse 6. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. And then down to verse 11. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. And then verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ, in verse 17. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. Here ends our two here end our two gospel lesson texts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. We have a response of thankfulness printed for us at the bottom left of our bulletins. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word and ask that you would, by your Spirit, enlighten our minds and hearts by it. Jesus, preach to us by this, your word, and by your Spirit, make it effectual under our souls. We pray, Lord, that you would give eyes to see and ears to hear your gospel, that you would work in all of our lives, that you would cause us all to hear what you're saying and to rejoice in you, our great God of good news. Aid us by your Spirit to see your good news. We thank you for this, your word. Amen. My oldest daughter is looking at colleges right now. She's a senior in high school, and so I've traveled around with her looking at some different schools. And I remember when we went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Carolina, for those of you who are from around here. Our tour guide saying that she was from New Jersey, but she came down here at Carolina, and she knew as she got here this was where she belonged. And I heard someone else who later joined us and other tour guides that say this. Now, they're paid professionals, so, you know, we take that with a grain of salt. But you could see that they were excited to have chosen to go to Carolina, and we're excited about that school there and still enjoyed it, and we're very pleased with what they had done. They felt they had arrived at a place where they belonged. As we look this morning at these couple of passages, that's the thing about which we're speaking. That God has a place for us where we belong, and that place for each human being, that place of belonging, that place they were created to be, was the church. So that's about what we speak this morning. And we looked at a couple of passages this morning that Carl read for us, Genesis 1. Carl read for us verses 26 and 27 that say that we are created with the image of God. God's image is upon us. And as we read then James 3 and Romans 1, Carl read for us, we see that even though man has fallen into sin, that man still bears this image of God. And man, though born spiritually dead, is born with God's image upon him and knows certain things about God. And that passage in Romans always can take us by surprise if we haven't thought about it for a while, because it says that non-believers knew God but have rejected him. And that's contrary to what the world says, isn't it? The world says the reason people don't believe in God is because they don't know him. But God says the opposite. No, they know me, but they're suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. All that to say that in your core, and in the core of each person, is, and I say this word with all positive connotations, religion. And that's your first blank there. In your core, in the core of every human being, is religion. Now, sometimes religion is used as a negative term, meaning all the things that man does associated with the church that's bad, or associated with some other religion that's bad. I'm not using that term in that way. What I'm saying is we are religious beings. That's what Scripture teaches us. We are spiritual beings. We are created by God, and we bear his image. There's something within us that is religious, that is spiritual. So each person has in him, from birth, the image of God. And that's your next blank there. We found that from Genesis 1, James 3, Romans 1. Each person has upon him the image of God. A sense of the divine is in each person because of this. A sense of the divine. And so, there are two effects of this, and we're just moving along in our intro here. Two effects of the fact that we bear the image of God, that we have this sense of the divine. And the first effect is this. It's the A point here. Your soul speaks to you this. Your soul cries out to you this. God exists. That's your first blank. God exists, and I should worship him. That's what Romans 1 that Carl read for us is all about. We know every human being, the worstly, is that a word, immoral person who's ever lived knows that God exists and that he or she should worship him. That's part of having the image of God. Other effect of the image of God being on us, that you were created to be part of the building up of the church. That's your next blank there. You were created to be part of the building up of the church. You were created to be part of the church. And your life, next blank, your life suffers apart from this involvement. Your life suffers apart from this involvement. You are wired, as we've talked about in past weeks, you're hardwired for church. You're hardwired to be a part of the people of God. You're hardwired to be a part of this spiritual community, those who know the one true God and give worship to him. You're hardwired to worship him. You know God exists, and your soul cries out within you for this. But these things, just like in 2 Chronicles 36:19, just like the temple, these things at our birth were broken in us. They were broken in us. That is, we're born knowing God exists. We're born knowing that we should worship him. We're born knowing that we should be a part of his church. But these things are broken in us. And these are temple-related things that are in each one of us. The temple of God that you were created to be, that the New Testament says is how we have our own completion as people, being temples of God and temples of his Spirit. The temple of God you were created to be from the point of your birth was burned to the ground. Verse 19 of 2 Chronicles 36. This is to say, we are born in exile. Think about that. God's people living in Judah. Nebuchadnezzar comes in from Babylon. He comes in. He knocks down the wall of Jerusalem. He burns down the temple. He steals all the stuff from the temple that's of any value. He steals all the stuff from the palaces. And those he doesn't kill, he exiles them into Babylon. And so there are people born in exile in Babylon, and they were created as God's people to be a part of God's people gathering for worship on each Sabbath, as this text indicates. And they were created to be worshiping God. And they're born without that. God told his people that in order to properly worship him, they needed to worship him in Jerusalem, at the temple, with all these priestly functions going on. And God's people who were born in exile or who had been exiled could not do that. They could not do what God had formed them to do, what God had created them to do. Their temple, from birth, was burned to the ground. It was flattened. And they couldn't fulfill the functions they were created to have, to be worshiping people, which their souls were created to do. So we think about ourselves and we say, my religious core from birth, which screams within me to worship my Creator God, was not operational. And that's how people are born into this world, with non-operational temples, so to speak. But, and here's where we get to Christmas. Jesus' advent, his coming to earth, is to, here's your blank, restore. Restore you and bless you by restoring you to these things that you were created to do. Jesus comes to earth to fix these things. What are these things? To be clear, your A point, he comes to restore you being a regular, consistent, joyful worshiper of him. And B, he comes to restore you to do this thing that you're created to do, to be a part of the building up of the church. Jesus is well represented here in this passage by King Cyrus of Persia. King Cyrus of Persia foreshadows the work that Jesus would do. He foreshadows Jesus' work in the gospel. He comes and he reverses A and B, doesn't he? He initiates, like Cyrus, the rebuilding of the temple so that God's people can start properly worshiping God. That's what Jesus does. That's what he comes to earth to do. He comes and his preaching of the kingdom of God is this issuing of this decree, like Cyrus, that invites people to be a part of the building up of the church so that they might worship properly the one true God. So, what's our application? Three things this morning. Three things that are true from Jesus' advent. The first thing is this. We, as God's people, just like God's people during Jesus' day and God's people during Cyrus's day, are given this application. First, choose. That's your blank. Choose to listen to Jesus. First application from these texts. Choose to listen to Jesus. We see this in verse 23, these words of Cyrus. And God's people had a choice. They could choose to listen to Cyrus, or they could ignore him. So what does this mean? It means that you must recognize, here's your next blank coming up, you must recognize that you need to return to God. First thing to do, you must recognize that you need to return to God and to the things of God through the offer of the King, Jesus. Cyrus the king extends a call saying in verse 23, anyone, let him go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was up in elevation. That's why they say up. Let him go up. Let him go up. And may the Lord be with him. This is the call of the gospel through Jesus too, isn't it? Jesus extends in the manner of Cyrus a call to come to the, here's your next blank, to the heavenly Jerusalem. So Cyrus here we see is a foreshadowing. He calls people to go up to the earthly Jerusalem, to the temple of God there, to be a part of the building up of the temple, part of the worshiping God in that temple. But Jesus in the gospel comes and he invites all people to go up to the heavenly Jerusalem. And we know from the New Testament that those who believe in Jesus are citizens of Jerusalem, citizens of this kingdom of heaven, whose capital city is the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's the call of the gospel, to be a citizen of the heavenly Jerusalem, to go up to there, to have our loyalty, to be to that city, and to that city's king, the risen and enthroned Jesus Christ. So Jesus extends in the manner of Cyrus a call to come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And that's what Jesus in his gospel calls us to do, calls you to do, to return to God, to come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You know, when God's people were faced with this decree from Cyrus, they had a choice. They were there in exile, and some of them had been being faithful in exile, like Daniel. But others had not. But the rubber met the road here at this point in chapter 36, didn't it? People were called out. Who are you going to follow? Where are you going to be a citizen? Are you going to be a citizen here in Babylon or Persia? Or is your loyalty where you want to be a citizen? To Jerusalem, to the God of heaven, who's given me, Cyrus, all the kingdoms of the earth. Where is your loyalty going to be? And that's what Jesus does when he comes and proclaims the gospel. Remember the rich young ruler who comes and says, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus reviews the second half of the Ten Commandments with them. It says, love your neighbor. And this man, very pridefully, says, oh, I've done all those things from birth. And then Jesus says, okay, how about loving God? How are you in that? How's your loyalty to God doing? And how does Jesus ask him that question? Jesus says, go and sell all that you have and give the proceeds to the poor. And then most importantly, okay, I know you're going to do that because you love your neighbor so well. You've just told me you love your neighbor so well. I know you're going to do that. But then come and follow me. Love God. Jesus does that in his call to the gospel. He says, love God. Have your loyalty be to him. Return to God. Return to Jerusalem. Repent and look up to the heavenly Jerusalem. Have me be your king, Jesus says. So whoever responds to this call, whoever goes up, whoever believes in Jesus, whoever listens to him and returns to God, here's your blank. God is with him. And Jesus, at Christmas time, we know, is called Emmanuel. God with us. Cyrus says it. Whoever goes up, whoever has Jerusalem as the central place, whoever prioritizes the worship of God in his or her life and goes up to Jerusalem to rebuild this temple, whoever that is, God is with him. And it's the same for us. If we believe, if we return to God, God is with us. That's what we read about in the New Testament. God has come to be with us. First of all in Jesus. But then Jesus, when he goes up, tells his disciples, don't be sad, I will be with you by the Holy Spirit. And so the call of the gospel is a call to people to follow Jesus, to listen to him, to be devoted to him, to go up to the heavenly Jerusalem, so to speak, to care more about heaven than earth. And those people for whom that is true, God is with us by his Spirit. So first, choose to listen to Jesus. Second thing, second point of application for us here. Number two, be a regular, consistent, and joyful worshiper of God. What's the problem for God's people? We see it in verses 19 and 20 of 2 Chronicles 36. The temple's destroyed. It's burned to the ground. They can't properly worship God. But here's this opportunity, verse 23. God's people can go back to Jerusalem, they can rebuild the temple, and they can start worshiping God in the regular way, in the proper way, the way they were supposed to. Jesus was born on earth as a baby, that he might rescue you from your exile from the temple, and to restore you to what gives your soul its health. That is, here's your blank, worshiping God. Jesus comes as a baby to restore the temple, to build it up, that you might have spiritual health, which comes from worshiping him in this regular, consistent, joyful way. Again, for your good, because your soul is bothered when worshiping God is not a part of your regular activity. And most of us have had a period in our life where we've been away from the church, and we experience that. Some of you, when you're away for a week, you're sick or you're traveling or something like that, you've said to me, I really miss that. I really miss being there in worship. That's a soul thing that's going on. The image of God within us is bothered that we haven't been part of that regular, consistent, joyful worship. And so Jesus comes and builds up the temple and says that he's come to build up the church so that we can be regular worshipers of God. And we see that here at Christmas time when we read of the wise men coming from the east. What do when they see Jesus? They worship him. They give him gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Third point of application for us. So first, we're to choose to listen to Jesus, to go up to Jerusalem, to have our loyalty to be him, to him first. Secondly, to be a regular, consistent, joyful worshiper of God. And thirdly, to be a part of the church. That's your blank, to be a part of the church. And same verses here. The problem that God's people had was they weren't a part of this regular temple community where they would worship God with other people who were also worshiping the one true God. But Jesus came to build his church. That's your next blank there. He says that in Matthew 16:18. He says, "And I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus comes to build his church. And that is a decree that Cyrus just foreshadowed. Cyrus said, "God has given me, the God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. They're at my disposal. And here's what I choose to do. He's appointed me to rebuild his temple. So go and do it." And that's what Jesus does. Psalm 2, we see that the Father says to the Son, "Behold, I give you the nations as your inheritance." And Jesus comes and says, "All the nations of the earth, through the Great Commission and the preaching of the gospel to every tribe, tongue, and nation, all the nations of the earth are at my disposal, and here's what I choose to do, to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus came to build his church, and you, next blank for you, and you were created. You were created for this. And again, your soul is incomplete when it's not part of the building up of the church. You were wired to be a part of this. That was your destiny, just like one of God's children in Babylon. It was their job, it was their destiny, not to be in Babylon, not to be apart from the temple, not to be apart from regular worship, but it was their destiny to be God's people there at the temple, a part of the temple, a part of the worship of God. They were created for this, and so they were to hear the decree of Cyrus and say, "Great, we can fulfill what we were created to do, to be God's worshiping community here on earth." And that's the call of Jesus. We were created for this. Not just to be an independent, separated from all other Christians, Christian. God has called us to be together. To gather together for the worship of him. Jesus said he would build his church. So, conclusion. Jesus came to earth as a baby to restore, that's your blank, to restore the things that you were created to have, but were born without. So the exhortation here in this passage is this: to experience the full restoration of your soul, the ending of your exile from God and his temple and his people. You experience this full restoration from exile by A, three blanks for you, by believing in your need to return to God. And I've gotten to speak with a number of you since we've opened our building here, and that's been your experience, and I commend you in that, seeing your need to return to God. I've been away from the church for a while, and some of you, it was before we came into this building, where you came in and said, I need to return to God. And that's what God has wanted you to do. And so continue. Secondly, be a regular worshiper of him. Our souls were created for this. And I remember growing up, I had this ambivalent relationship with going to church. On the one hand, I loved it when my parents let me sleep in and we didn't go to church. On the other hand, my soul felt like I had been eating Cheetos for 2 hours. You know that feeling? You know, they looked really good when you first, opened that bag, and they tasted really good at first, but after a while, your your mouth gets all raw and you feel like you got scurvy and you know that feeling in your gums. Todd Rushton has a good story to tell about a kid with Cheetos all over him at school. So ask him about that afterward. So be a regular worshiper of Him. Your soul was created for that. That's food to your soul. And then C, be a part of and a builder in His church. Your presence, your fellowship in a church body builds that body up. Scripture says that you, as individuals, are the living stones that make up the temple of God. And so you come in here and you're a part of that building process, just like God's people in exile were to come back and to come and meet together and be a part of the building up of the church. And as you interact with people here in the church, that builds people up and the church is built up. And some of you are involved in different ways and helping out with various functions of the church. That's building up the temple. That's responding to this call to build up the temple of God so that God might be focused upon and worshiped. So believe in your need to return to God. Be a regular worshiper of Him and be a part of His church. These things are all things that you need. And I'm speaking to the choir here, so to speak, because you're here. But be encouraged in these things. Your being here is the right thing for you to do. Your soul has needed it. God has created you for these things. And you're nourished and healthy as you take part. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful that You parted from Your Son for a time as You sent Him to this earth to be born in a stable, a manger, placed in amongst the animals and the shepherds. We thank You, Father, for sending Him to us to restore us in these ways that we need. Cause us to be people who respond rightly to this call of our King, not Cyrus, but Jesus, to return to You, to look to the heavenly Jerusalem and to the King upon that throne, to You, Jesus. Cause us to be people who see our reason for being as worshiping You. And cause us, Lord, to see our involvement in the church as not only good for us, but also good for others. Help us to see that You, Jesus, came for the building up of Your church, and You call us to do that, just like Cyrus called those people long ago. We thank You for Your goodness to us, Lord, and that You don't ask us to do things that are harmful for us, but You ask us to do things that will be for our best. Strengthen us by Your Spirit and Your Word so that we would do that, so that we would be greatly blessed by You as we follow You in this. Amen.